Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, everybody, this is Phil Town.
And this is Danielle Town.
Hey, welcome to the Invested Podcast, where we are very, very busy deconstructing Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger and all of these other investors that are working hard to do real investing.
We're very busy and important. Didn't we figure that out last week?
By the way, the market has gone so deep into exchange-traded funds now, which Warren Buffett has been recommending for years. If you're not going to learn how to invest, go get an exchange-traded fund that does the whole market. Totally agree with him. But now, Charlie Munger, before he died, started warning that the ETFs are sucking up so much capital that a handful of ETF managers, literally three major managers, have enormous voting control over the market, number one. And number two, the volatility that comes from having everybody buying something that isn't seeking prices. It's not seeking value at all. It's just paying the price, whatever it is. That's what an ETF does. It's causing market volatility. And as expected, this is what we think, is that it's going to create enormous market volatility. So anyway, mm-hmm. just a brief aside that mm-hmm. it's important to learn how to invest because you've got to put price on things. And so we want to buy things at a good price. You got to know what they're worth. And that's how we kind of got rolling on this podcast a billion years ago. And we have been in the middle of, we're in the middle of looking at Ulta and the beauty industry and just through your eyes, which I hope you can pick it up where you left off.
Yeah, well, I think to your point that if there is going to be more and more volatility coming, which I agree with, probably going to happen, knowing what I own becomes 10,000 times more important, because then I'm not worried as much about the market price. That's just the market price. Yeah. I need to know what I actually own, which is the cash flow, as you pointed out. So exactly. let me tell you more about this world makeup and skincare, because it's so huge. It's such huge, freaking unbelievable amounts of business, money, cash flow. And it's a world that I think many investors don't really know the ins and they don't know the weather, right? They don't know what's going on around it. And if you just look at Ulta and Sephora, you don't get the whole picture. So Victoria Beckham got really into Augustinus Botter and she like promoted it. And I think they maybe had some sort of deal. And then she came out with her own makeup line after she did kind of a test line with Estee Lauder, I think, which was received incredibly well. And then she came out with her own makeup line after her fashion line essentially failed. So her fashion line, despite being beautiful and really like acclaimed, her stuff is beautiful, failed commercially because she just wasn't selling enough, basically. And so in order to save it, one, we're going way into the weeds here. In order to save her fashion line, David Beckham famously had to put, I think, $11 million or 11 million pounds into her fashion line. And she had to start some lines that would actually make money. And so to do that, she started her makeup line. Now, she famously is into makeup, so this isn't a huge stretch. But it's kind of funny that it came out of like total failure and bankruptcy. So she started her Victoria Beckham makeup line direct to consumer on the website. And it's just been, it's kind of a slow roll at the beginning, but it's just been a huge success. Massive success. Basically saved her fashion line. She's doing very well now. And I love her makeup. So to answer your question, her makeup not the only one, but her makeup is one that is particularly attached to using very high quality ingredients. I don't think she has any glycols in her stuff, but maybe she does. I haven't totally checked, but they don't irritate my face. That's the important thing. And she now has an official brand partnership with Augustinus Bader and makes this makeup primer using his very special burn technology. I've tried her makeup primer. Also very nice. I like it. I don't think it's worth the price unless you're really into having makeup primer, which I'm just not, but it's nice. Okay, mini reviews done. So that's just one example of what's going on in the world of makeup, that this and skincare, that this these like two little independent brands, not owned by Kering or LVMH, independent brands got huge just through social media and people knowing about them and people believing that the face behind the brand was selling them something that was real. And then they got the products and the products were very good and they liked them and they kept buying them. So that's, I think, what we see in the world of makeup and skincare that is starting to hurt the Ultas and the Sephoras of the world, to come back full circle to the beginning.
Here we are then.
Because the Ultas and the Sephoras, they have great lines. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Victoria Beckham wants to be in Ulta or Sephora. I have no idea. But the level of sales is so large and they have to have stuff that sits on the shelves and they have to have it available internationally and available for shipment all over the place. And I can only imagine that the requirements for a line to be in one of those stores is that it be enormous and be able to fulfill enormous orders. And so I don't know if these sort of more independent brands want to be doing that. And I don't know if it really helps them to be in a store like that. I also don't know, maybe you know because you've studied Ulta, how much of a cut Ulta or Sephora take from the brands for having them in their stores. So obviously when they're selling direct, they get the whole thing.
Well, one of the things that really, really was interesting was the idea that there's just a handful of factories making this stuff.
Oh yeah.
For these big chains. It's like, we know that about sunglasses, right? That there's just really sort of one sunglass manufacturer that does all these different ones. But is that the case with makeup as well? The factories specialize.
Yeah,
and
this
by the
is
way,
just.
Where are these factories? Are they all over the world? Is that the idea?
I mean, I don't know that much about it. What I know about this, I've picked up from like YouTube videos and little things where creators are talking about their makeup lines. But from what I understand, it's probably a lot like other industries where you kind of know where the best scientists are, you know, where the best people are. And this factory over here has scientists who are amazing at lipstick and they just come up with the most amazing lipstick form. Like the brands, just for anybody who's not into makeup, the brands are not inventing their formulas. The formulas are invented by cosmetic scientists, which is like a fascinating field because there's so much innovation in it and they have to constantly be inventing new stuff. I just think it's the coolest. I never knew there were cosmetic scientists until recently. And go into cosmetic science if you're into science and makeup, because it just is super cool and growing. And so so these factories basically, these labs I should say, invent the formulas. They then sell or license the formulas to the various brands. How they decide who gets what, I don't know. And then the brands brand it and come out with it. And so, yeah, there's I'm sure many labs that make makeup, but it's sort of known amongst people who follow where things are made, like where the best eyeliner lab is and where the best powder lab is. And most of them are in Italy, or I've heard of some in Germany, but I don't know that much about where they are. And then, like I mentioned to you, Chanel is in France and has its own. Chanel's the only major privately held, privately owned fashion and makeup and skincare line. Major. So their stuff is very interesting to me because they can do whatever they want and they have their own labs, and the stuff they come up with is sometimes better, sometimes worse, but different, which is kind of cool in a world where things come out of the same labs. And then I will also mention to you, because I know everybody listening to this who knows about makeup is wondering, Lisa Eldridge, I have to mention. So she is a really internationally famous makeup artist, like does Vogue covers all the time, like very, very high level. And she started a YouTube channel back when YouTube had just started. So she's just been around for a really long time. And she does these really nice makeup videos on, like, here's how a professional makeup artist would describe, like, here's how you do your lips or here's how you do your face when you're hungover. That's a really good video. And so she's just got this huge, huge following because she was so early on YouTube and she makes really nice, soothing videos. And so she started her own lipstick line a number of years ago, which was very, very successful. And she's now expanded into a full makeup line. She's started skincare, and it's all owned by her. And it's all, not all of her formulas are made by her, but she's gotten really into cosmetic science and was very, very proud that she helped to create her foundation formula. And she specifically made sure that she owns the IP to that formula, which according to her, this is, I don't have any alternate information, but according to her, that it's very, very rare that a brand would even be allowed by a lab to own their own formula because it's something that's their business. You know, it's a lab's business to come up with these formulas. So her stuff, the point is her stuff is also different. And it's very good. So her line has been and continues to be extremely successful. And I think that's what I see with these sales going on in makeup and skincare that I'm getting, like these sales emails, is that there's now such good makeup and such good skincare and such good formulas, which is so great for all of us. But also prices are going up. And with the combination of having a world of wonderful choice as a consumer and things being more expensive, so I don't want to buy as many things. I'm not going to try as many different options as maybe I would have 3 years ago when I was locked down and bored and had extra money and I thought maybe I'd try a pink lipstick and a red lipstick and see how it went. Now I'm just going to pick the pink lipstick. So I think that's where this is going in that world. The competition, the higher prices, super and the way people are shopping is different.
Because one of the, like a thesis for Ulta is that it's makeup, and makeup is anti-fragile. We look back at the Depression and see that lipstick companies did well. And the argument here is that it's a little luxury. It's a small luxury. And all the big luxuries go away in a big recession, depression environment. And so you have to have a little luxury. But what I think is missing from that thesis is the idea that this industry has evolved to become super high end in the sense that, you know, people are paying fortunes for this stuff, as you were mentioning, and can quickly dial down and still right. have these little luxuries.
Right.
Which
so I think
hammer this industry.
That thing that frankly, like, it's kind of like a man thing to say, like, oh, you'd buy a lipstick in the Depression. Like, oh, we're past that. I mean, nobody's, yes,
wait,
you can buy a lipstick.
Why is this a man thing? Because we don't
well,
know.
Well, that's what you hear
world?
From like investor
a guy.
Type
yeah,
people
a guy.
Who tend to be men on television.
Okay. I don't think you're entirely wrong about that. Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's sort of this like refrain of like, well, you'll always buy a lipstick, which is, I think, not incorrect. I think that's true. Like probably women will buy a lipstick to feel better because that's nice and fun. And like I said, even as an ill person,
but you might
I
not be
bought
buying
lipstick,
a $450
right?
every 3 month cleanser.
Exactly. And there was so much makeup buying and skincare buying 3-4 years ago that the boom happened, and now people are going, well, I've got 10 different blushes. Do I need another one? Like, maybe if it's really amazing, I'll buy it, but I'm not going to buy two different colors of it. I'll just buy one color of it. There's kind of this this reeling back of the spending because we've already got so much. You've got pretty much what you want, probably.
It's so,
then the other part of it is, like, back then, I don't know how much a lipstick was, but it was something that was affordable.
Right.
In this scenario of, like, oh, I'm in the Depression and I'll buy a lipstick. But yeah. Now, and there are still affordable lipsticks, but even drugstore lipsticks, they're going up in price. Like, I'm not sure they're worth the price that they're being sold for anymore.
I mean, you told
like,
me
you get
Tom
a $20
Ford sells a lipstick.
But I'm just talking about drugstore lipsticks. So, like, CoverGirl, okay. Maybelline, Rimmel. You go, and if you want a, you know, an affordable lipstick, you're just going to pick up, right? Even those are now like $20 or something. Like, that's not drugstore prices. A drugstore lipstick to me is like $8.
And then Tom Ford's
you
like
move
$95.
Forward. Yeah, yeah, Tom Ford lipstick is $95. And I got to tell you, I got a sample Tom Ford lipstick. I never had one, but I got a sample Tom Ford lipstick from Sephora when I bought something. And I was like, okay, whatever. It's really good. Like, I really like it. And I would probably buy another one. But now I have this one. But now I have this one that I got for free. So I don't need another Tom Ford lipstick.
Well, you're going to run out. Then what?
Oh, yeah. In 20 years. Like, I'm not going to ever use up
this. This is the part that blows my mind. 30 lipsticks? You have 30 lipsticks?
I think I probably have like 20 or 25.
25.
But that's not very many, Dad.
Oh my gosh. So maybe the thesis is right. Maybe women will just buy this stuff.
No. That's what I was saying to you. On its face, it's right. Yeah. Like, we'll keep buying lipsticks and blushes and foundation. Like, it's not going to go away. It's shrinking, though. We're not buying them as much. That's the point. And that's why
something you were asking earlier. And that is when Ulta is selling somebody's makeup, how much does the company get?
Yeah. Do you know the answer to that?
Yeah, sure. It's like Ulta overall, the difference between what Ulta sells it for, which is revenue, and what it costs them to put it on the shelf, which is cost of goods sold, is called gross profit margin. And that is running about 43% for Ulta. So in other words, it costs them about 60% of the retail price to have that thing on the shelf. And then on top of that, they have all their sales costs and the building and any marketing they're doing and all the rest of it. So they're paying out, 50% or something for that company. Now, what is that company?
Wait, are you saying that the brands receive 50% of the sales price?
On average.
Okay.
In other words, they have a name for it. It's like key something. That
sure.
You basically say the price you're going to buy it for from a retailer, from a manufacturer, and you double it, and that's your retail price.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Those margins are shrinking at Ulta, number one. Number two is the question of what is it cost that company to manufacture that product, right? Now, this doesn't include any of the marketing or anything else, but there are some interesting numbers out there. Aesop, I think it's Aesop, got bought by
L'Oreal.
By L'Oreal.
I know. I'm bummed.
Yeah, for like a couple $1 billion. Anyway, yeah. Aesop, their gross profit margin is 87%. In other words, it cost them all in a dime.
Tell me about it, dude. I'm the idiot who buys their $50 soap because my husband doesn't like any of the other soaps I buy. So
Bruno
I finally went back
is a
to Aesop.
Soap guy.
He's such a snob about his soap.
Really?
I bought Grown Alchemist. I bought Soder. I bought L'Occitane. And everyone, he was like, it's all right. It's fine. It's fine. And I finally was like, I'm just going to buy you the Aesop, even though it's stupid. And he was like, I love it. So, we're the ones.
I love your husband. I mean, how many husbands out there at 50 years old are running around with like 3% body fat?
Oh,
he is such a rock. His You know, you just look at him when he's just wearing a pair of shorts at the beach or something.
You're so
And he's got like a 10-pack. I mean, it's like he's got muscles that go all the way to his
You sound
pecs.
Really weird right now.
Oh, sorry.
For context, he's a cyclist who is really into cycling and
he's
therefore...
He's a really good athlete is what
strong.
This guy is.
Yes, he
we,
is.
We call him the Driftmeister when we go out and we race Porsches. This guy has so much control of a car, way more than any of us, including my brothers who race. I mean, he's just a gifted, talented athlete, you know, and he just has massive eye body coordination.
He is so I buy him the nice soap.
And you get
because he likes
it.
It. Yeah. If he wants the nice soap, I'm going to get him the nice soap. And it's obvious that that soap does not cost them. $50 or I don't even know what
right?
I paid for it.
It cost them less than $5.
I would be shocked if it cost them more than $2. So, I mean, it just smells
well,
nice.
Overall, all in, it costs
So, yeah, that
decent.
Doesn't surprise me at all. And so, I think also, like, with Ulta, I'm sure they pay different brands different percentages
like,
for example, map. Speaking of Chanel, Ulta has Chanel, which is a... the word tentpole does not cover what Chanel
oh, really?
Does for Ulta because Ulta is basically like pretty good stuff and then like Chanel high up above that. And
really? So it kind of goes like low to middle tier?
No. I mean, they have other really good
leaps.
Stuff. But
I mean, they copy Sephora all over the place, right?
They copy Sephora all over the place?
Yeah. Doesn't
you
Sephora
mean their...
come up with new stuff and then.
Oh, like Ulta with their Sephora brand?
No, there's no Sephora brand at Ulta.
There is a Sephora. No, I know. I don't know how much Ulta knocks off Sephora ideas, but Sephora doesn't have Chanel. And for people who live in places where there's no Chanel in a department store, it's a really big deal that Ulta has Chanel. I bought Chanel from Ulta in Montana because there was no other way to get it on that day. So I went to Ulta and got my Chanel powder because Lisa Eldridge told me it was the best powder. How's that for about 3 different callbacks from 20 minutes ago?
That's
We're going really
good.
Long here. I think we should probably call it. And
I think let's wrap up Ulta for a second. And that is that it is definitely going through some changes and maybe the whole market is going through some changes, the whole beauty market. And so... I would be careful about valuing the business. I'd be careful about valuing the business at this point. Because when we value a business, essentially, we have to have a pretty good sense of where it's going to be down the road. Because the value of a business, as we've said a million times, the value of the business is only the cash flow that you get from it. Or, of course, that you sell the business virtually. You sell the business based on what that cash flow is in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially it's all about cash flow and then figuring out what you'd be willing to pay for that cash flow today to have it over the future. So if you don't really have a sense of the cash flow of the future of Ulta, then it's very hard to predict what it should be worth. And that's why it's going through so many massive changes. It had an almost 30% drop overnight based on an earnings report. And then it had like 20% rise based on another earnings report. It's just really, the market is very nervous around Ulta. And I'd be very careful with it right now. I'm a little nervous around Ulta myself. I'd like to own it, but I need to own it at a price that reflects its real growth. And I don't know what that would be in the future right now.
Well, so what interests me out of this is, like, to me, this is the perfect example of how either not knowing enough or knowing too much about like what's around a company and its industry can just get so murky so fast. And maybe that's because the makeup area is particularly in a real change zone. But I feel like this with most industries where I'm like, do I know enough about what's going on around it? And
well,
that's
honey,
why
the truth is for most industries, for most people, they're not going to know what enough. It's not about being able to figure out most industries. It's about being able to figure out one. Really is what it boils down to. I feel very confident about burritos.
There are
other
tell
things
me
I
about
feel
it.
Less confident about. All right, we got to go.
We
got to
go. All right.
You're awesome.
Thanks, everybody.
My daughter. Enjoyed it.
Bye.
See you next time. Bye. Hi, guys. Thanks for listening to Invested. If you enjoyed this episode and you want more information or to listen to additional episodes, visit our website at investedpodcast.com. And sign up for my virtual workshop right there. Spots are definitely limited for this event. I'm not kidding. They really are. They sell out very quickly. So everything discussed on this podcast, by the way, is either my opinion or it's Danielle's opinion. And it's really important. It's not to be taken as investing advice because I am not your financial advisor, nor have I considered your personal situation as your fiduciary. So remember that. You're on your own here. This podcast is for your entertainment and education only. And I really hope you enjoyed it.